Amen. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. We might as well go ahead and rejoice and be glad in it. If you're just super glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight, go ahead and put your hands together and give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise. I tell you, He is worthy of all of the praise, and we certainly honor the presence and the power of the Lord that's in this place. And I just thank the Lord that He's the unseen presence in the room on this evening. I am over the top grateful and thankful for the ministry of Brother Daniel Doss. Go ahead and give it up for him. Amen. Amen. Thank you, man. Thank you so much. If you were waiting for me to preach tonight to worship, then you've missed worship already. And I am super duper glad to be in the house with my friend, Pastor Tim, and I just praise the Lord for he and his precious wife, and they've meant so much. Amen. They've meant so much to me and have been a huge encourager. And one of the reasons I'm serving you now at the Southern Baptist Convention is because of supportive brothers like him. And I'm grateful for this church. And I want to say thank you for how you continue to faithfully give through the cooperative program. You allowed the gospel to be spread here at home and around the world. Well, it is time for us to go right into the word of the Lord. Amen. And tonight, I want to invite you to turn in your copy of God's word to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm just going to read verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And I know that on last week, you were tremendously blessed with the ministry of Dr. Johnny Hunt. And I just want to tell you that you do not want to miss any Sunday. If I were here, every Sunday is a hot Sunday. Pastor Tanae on next Sunday, and then Pastor Steve the following Sunday. And then you definitely want to make sure you're here for Pastor Fred Lewis. You do not want to miss any of those services. I believe that the Lord's going to meet you in every gathering. Well, if you've got 1 Peter chapter 4, just shout amen. Amen. Hear these words as recorded in the Word. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as if though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of serving or helping others? Then do it with all the strength and all the energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ, because all the glory and all the power belong to Him forever and ever. Well, I want to tag this text tonight with your prayers and certainly with the aid of the Holy Spirit. I want to preach about the church that brings glory to God. The church that brings glory to God. The church is designed to be a place where believers walk together in love and unity. Because whenever we walk together in love and unity, we can accomplish so much more for the glory of God. In Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3, he says, how can two walk together except they agree? That early church, they existed simply to bring glory to God. The early church made a difference because they were a church that were unified around the right priorities. The early church was efficient and effective because they kept the main thing the main thing. Those early believers were not competitors, but rather they were colleagues working together for one common cause. They were not divided over worship styles. They were not divided over preferences. They were not divided over the generations, but rather they were committed to living out the great commandment and fulfilling the great commission. The testimony of the early churches, these were they that turned the world upside down and right side up. The early believers were committed and they were devoted to the plan of God. When you read Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, the Bible says that they devoted themselves to four things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, and then they devoted themselves to prayer. And one of the signs of a vibrant, healthy church is that they prioritize their biblical values. We live in a culture that devalues values, and we live in a culture where anything goes and anything is acceptable. But yet we are reminded in 1 Peter that you and I have a godly standard that we are called to live by. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you and I should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. We are called to live by biblical values. We are called to live differently before this dark and dying world. And I believe here at the Grace Baptist Church that you are an expression of the kingdom of God, and there are certain things that you value. For instance, I believe that you value focused worship. You believe that worship is a lifestyle. You worship the Lord privately and publicly, and you affirm that the true worshipers will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You value focused worship. You value biblical truth. You believe that in order to live a life that honors God, that we need God's Holy Spirit to guide us as we study the Bible. We believe that the Word of God is the inerrant Word of God, which means that God's Word contains no error. We believe that it is the infallible Word of God. It contains truth. It is the inspired Word of God, that Scripture is God-breathed. And we believe that it is the authoritative Word of God, that God's Word is the final authority in every matter. What am I trying to say tonight? I'm simply trying to say that when the believer gets in the Word of God and the Word of God gets in the believer, you've got a winning combination. Preach, Brother Willie. I'm doing the best I can. We believe tonight in gospel action. We believe that our God is a sending God, and you and I are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ here at home and around the world. You and I are called to be light and salt in the midst of a dark world, and each one of us is created in the imago Dei, or the image of God, in order that we can be a part of the missio Dei, the mission of God. C.T. Studd said it best. He said, the light that shines the farthest is the one that shines the brightest at home. We are a people that believe in compassionate service. We believe that Christ is our greatest example of what it means to serve with compassion and what it means to use our gifts and our talents and our times and our resources. We are reminded in Scripture that we are called to serve with godly compassion. You remember what Jesus says to us in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. If someone has enough money to live well, and they see a brother or sister in need, but they show no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other, but let us show the truth by our actions. And then remember the very words of Jesus in John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. Jesus says, a new commandment that I'm giving unto you, that you love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another. And then Jesus put the icing on the cake. Jesus says, by this will everyone know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. This message today teaches us this: we are never more like Jesus than when we are serving one another. 1 Peter chapter 4 is written by the Apostle Peter. This is the Peter who preached on the day of Pentecost, and the Bible records that 3,000 believers were added to the church. Yes, this is the same Peter who was also denied Christ three times. The Apostle Peter writes this message to believers who are enduring great persecution and suffering. He writes this epistle as a word of warning and as a word of encouragement. And in verse number 7 of 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says, the end of all things is near. That Jesus was coming back, and Peter knew that the next major event on God's calendar was the return of Jesus Christ. And Peter says to the people of God, and Peter says to us, get ready, because Jesus is coming. And in verses 7 through 11, we learn the values and we learn the behaviors that are put on display in a Great Commission church. And when these values are lived out, they result in bringing glory to God. So how do you and I bring glory to God? How do our lives display and demonstrate what it means to bring glory to God? Well, this text tonight gives us just a handful of things. First of all, if our lives are going to bring glory to God, verse 7 reminds us that we are called to pray believingly. We are called to pray believingly. Verse 7, Peter says, the end of all things is near. In other words, Jesus is coming back. And Peter says, be alert and be sober-minded so that you may pray. The early church's ministries and efforts were marked by prayer. So as Peter says, be alert, don't be sleepy, and be sober-minded so that you can pray. Peter encourages the believers to engage in prayer. And listen, when we pray believingly, we should pray expectantly. Jesus teaches us on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 36. Jesus says, when you pray, go into your secret closet. And when you go into that secret closet, you ought to shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Jesus reminds us in Mark chapter 11, verse number 24, if we're going to pray expectantly, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and then it will be yours. And then we learn what Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open unto you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open unto you. If we are going to pray believingly, then we've got to pray expectantly. But not only must we pray expectantly, but we need to pray earnestly. Jesus models this really well in Mark chapter 1. The Bible says a great while before day, Jesus gets up before it is daylight. He goes to a solitary place, and there Jesus prays. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we must pray earnestly. Why? Because Peter says the end is near. Therefore, be clear-minded, be self-controlled in order that you can pray. Listen, if I were to tell you tonight as we gather in this place that the end was near and you believe me, you would probably panic. But Peter says, even though the end is near, do not panic. Peter says, stay clear-minded, stay self-controlled, stay clear-minded so that you can pray effectively, you can pray appropriately. And when we pray believingly, we pray expectantly, and we pray earnestly. But then we should also pray eagerly. Oh, brothers and sisters, we're living in a time in our generation where prayer needs to be a consistent practice in our lives. We need prayer. Our pastors need prayer. Our church needs prayer. Our country needs prayer. Our world needs prayer. Prayer will lead you to believe that God will do something extraordinary through your life and through your church and even through us together as we take the gospel to the entire world. Oh, brothers and sisters, would to God that we would pray eagerly. Story is told about the fox that ran after the rabbit. The fox was never able to catch the rabbit. Why? Because the fox was running for food, but the rabbit was running for his life. And brothers and sisters, what we are called to do is we are called to pray eagerly. Listen, prayer always precedes great things from God. If you and I are going to see a public movement of God, then there must be those private moments with God. We are called to pray believingly. Why do we need to pray? Because if you depend on your organization, then you will get what your organization can give you. If you depend on your promotion, then you'll get what your promotion can give you. If you depend on education, then you'll get what your education can get you. If you depend on your money, then you will get what your money can get you. But if you depend on prayer, then you will get what God can give you. Why do we need to pray believingly? Here's why. Because God can do more in a moment than you and I can do in a lifetime. We are called to pray believingly. But look at verse number 8. Not only are we called to pray believingly, but Peter reminds us that we're called to love each other unconditionally. We all know verse number 8. We quote the big clause of verse number 8. Pastor, you shouldn't be so hard on me because love covers a multitude of sin. We know the big clause of verse number 8, but listen to the entire verse. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sin. We are called to love each other fervently, but notice the word above all. The phrase above all means that love and the demonstration of love should be a premium and a priority in our life. The Apostle Peter says, above all, we should love each other deeply. This is not the first time Peter uses this phrase. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22, Peter says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. And then here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8, Peter says, above all, love each other deeply. This is not a surface love, but the idea is a strenuous, intense love. And what Peter says to you and I is that love takes work. If you've been married for 2 days, you know that love takes work. If you've got children and grandchildren and some nieces and some nephews and some community kids, you know that love takes work. If you are a member of a Baptist church, then you know that love takes work. And we know that love takes work because Peter tells us the proof of that love is forgiveness. Peter says, above all, love each other deeply. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sin. And brothers and sisters, if we're going to experience revival, the real revival that we need to experience is the revival of loving one another the way that Jesus loves us. The church that loves one another, the family that loves one another, is able to forgive each other more rapidly. When love abounds in the fellowship, then we're not so hard on people. We're not so difficult to people. We're not so judgmental. But when love is lacking, every action is placed under the microscope of suspicion, and there is nothing that goes forward for the glory of God. And brothers and sisters, we are called to love each other unconditionally because this is the type of love that Jesus exhibited toward us. That's why the Apostle Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, that God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were sinners, he died for the ungodly. What do we need to know about love tonight? Well, first of all, we need to know, according to Romans 3 and 23, all of us have sinned and all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. You do know what sin is tonight. Sin means that you and I have missed the mark. That's why the old preachers will say, sin will take you further than you want to go. Kids, sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, and sin will cost you more than you want to pay. But I've got some good news for somebody tonight. You may feel helpless and you may feel hopeless tonight, but the unconditional love of Jesus is available for you. And I need to tell you this tonight, nothing that you can do to make God love you anymore, and nothing so bad that you can do to make God love you any less. The unconditional love of Jesus is available to everybody. Somebody say yes. It is that agape love. It is an unconditional love. Christ-centered love should be full of kindness. Christ-centered love should be full of humbleness and unselfishness and forgiveness and joyfulness and truthfulness and hopefulness. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we're going to bring glory to God, then we have to pray believingly and we have to love unconditionally. But then notice what Peter says in verse number 9. Peter says, if you and I are loving each other unconditionally, the fruit of loving each other unconditionally in verse number 9 is we're called to live hospitably. Peter says, okay, if you're praying believingly, and then if you are loving unconditionally, then Peter says the way this is lived out is that you live hospitably. In other words, don't be mean and nasty. Peter says we're called to offer hospitality one to another without grumbling. Peter says you and I are called to offer hospitality, which means that we need to be hospitable to people who we love and people that we don't love, and we need to invite them in our homes, make them feel welcome, meeting their needs and providing a place of welcome and acceptance. And Peter says, when you and I offer hospitality, do it without grumbling, without murmuring, and without complaining. Hospitality can be exasperating. Hospitality can be exhausting. I mean, you work all day and all of a sudden they're showing up unannounced and unexpected. Hospitality can be a chore. Hospitality can be expensive. And Peter says, be hospitable, but do not grumble. And what Peter says to us is that we should extend our circle of love, that when the love of God is abode in our life, we should live hospitably, because if they are a friend of Jesus, then they should be a friend of mine, regardless of their nationality, regardless of their age, regardless of their color, regardless of their social status. If they are a friend of Jesus, then they should be a friend of mine, and we should open our arms and live hospitably. I live in a community, and our community, the nations literally live in our community. And my youngest daughter, she has the gift of hospitality, and we have the community trampoline. And the way that our trampoline became the community trampoline, some of y'all would get this, our trampoline is the only trampoline that has a net around it. All the other trampolines are this trampo, there's no lean because there's no net. And so our home became the community trampoline. And so we go to Costco every month and we buy a case of ice pops. We buy the icy pops. And so our daughter has the gift of hospitality, and all the community kids come to our home. And it seems like every time I buy a case of ice pops, every time I go to Costco, number one on the list is ice pops. And I'm saying, honey, you do not have a job. Send those kids home. Let their parents go to the dollar store and buy their own ice pops. We're providing the trampoline. At least they can bring their own ice pops. And then Peter speaks to me. And Peter says, offer hospitality without grumbling and without complaining. And Peter says we should offer it to everybody. When we offer hospitality, we shall love one another. We shall listen to one another. We shall lift one another up, and we should labor together in our cul-de-sac. We've got the nations that are there. And so we've got black people in our cul-de-sac. We've got a couple from Canada, so we have Canadians in our cul-de-sac. And then we've got a couple from Wisconsin, so we have Aaron Rodger Knights in our cul-de-sac. We've got another couple that's from the Philippines. In fact, one of my daughter's best friends is a Filipino girl. And then we have another people group in our cul-de-sac from Mississippians. So we have Mississippians in our cul-de-sac. And what Peter says to us is live hospitably. Open your arms to be a blessing to anyone and anybody. And then the final thing that Peter says to us If you and I are going to bring glory to God, Peter finally says we're called to serve faithfully. Each one of you has been given a gift from the great variety of gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as if though God himself were speaking. Do you have the gift of helping others? Then do that with all the strength and all the energy that God supplies. Notice what Peter says to us. He says to us that you and I are never more like Jesus than when we are serving one another. What do we learn about this idea of serving faithfully? Well, first of all, we learn that you and I are important to God. Notice what he says in verse number 10, as each one has received the gift. Brothers and sisters, you are important to God. Every person that is born again, every person that has trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you are valuable in the sight of God. So valuable that you are, that God gives you a gift. I need you to hear me today that you are valuable to God, because in Philippians chapter 1, he who began a good work in you will complete that work until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't think that you're valuable to God, I want to encourage you with this. If you allow other people to define who you are no more than who they say that you are. But if you allow yourself to be defined by God, then you're who God says that you are. You are a child of the King. You are born again. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a friend of God. You are a royal priesthood. You and I are children of the Most High King. You are important to God. And because you are important to God, God invests his gift in you. In fact, look at verse number 10. Each one has received the gift. I want to suggest to you tonight that there are at least three gifts that you receive. First of all of us receive the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation means that when you came down the aisle, gave your hand to the preacher, and gave your heart to the Lord, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why? Because now you've been redeemed from the curse of sin, death, hell, and the grave. The Lord has wiped the slate clean. No matter what your past has been, no matter what sin or sins you have committed or will commit, he wipes the slate clean. He gives you the gift of salvation. But gift number two, once you receive the gift of salvation, then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That when you are born again, you are immediately indwelled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now dwells within you. You are now a spiritual being in a physical body, and now his spirit controls your life. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, preacher, not the person on my row, but the person on the row behind me, they don't act like they've got the spirit. Well, that's not your department. Your department is simply to be faithful to what God's called you to do. They've got the spirit. It's just not manifesting in their lives. But then he also gives you a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are given only to those that trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. People that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they may have talents, but they do not possess spiritual gifts. The gifts are given in order that you and I can engage in the work of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need every member of every church, of every size, and every race, and every city, and every state to use their gifts. Why? Because Jesus is calling for laborers, and Jesus is calling for you and I to use our gifts. And notice what Peter says. Peter says, if anyone speaks, he should speak as if though they are speaking the very words of God. And I believe that this can also be relegated to how we engage in our social media. That anytime we post anything on social media, you need to think about this, that anytime you post anything on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, or Facebook, and you're speaking, you should post and speak as if though it is the very words of God. If you can't say amen, look amen. But Peter says, not only should we speak, but Peter says that when you serve, you should do it with the strength that God provides. Why? Well, Peter reminds us, brothers and sisters, that we are important to God. He invests his gift in us. Why? Because he is interested in getting his glory. Then everything you do, verse number 11, I'm out of here. Verse number 11 says, everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Why? Because because all the glory and all the power belong to him forever and ever. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23, that whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, not working for man, but working as unto the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I leave you for this. Do what you can with what you have, where you are, while you can. Well, preacher, what do you mean by that? I'm telling you to do what you can. If God's giving you this gift, use that gift. Do what you can with what you have. God's in charge of giving the gifts, and do it where you are, while you can, because there will be a day that we'll transition from earth to eternity, and we won't be able to use those gifts no more. Why? Because God is interested that all the glory and all the power belong to him. I close with this. Got a friend of mine, he's a pastor up north, and he was visiting one of his members in the cardiac unit in the hospital. So he's a single pastor, so he gets into the elevator, and when he gets inside the elevator, there's a woman that walks inside the elevator. She's got on a long white jacket, and he notices that she did not have a wedding band on her wedding finger, so he just assumes that she's a single woman. And so it was true. Here's a single man and a single woman in the elevator. And so this single man begins to do what single men do when they see single women. Somebody say amen. In the elevator, he asked the lady two questions. He says, ma'am, tell me, what do you do, and who do you work for? And she says, well, sir, I'm a medical doctor, but I'm not just any old regular medical doctor. I'm a cardiologist. But I'm not just a regular cardiologist. I'm the one that they call on when the other cardiologists don't know what to do and when the other cardiologists can't figure it out. And then she says, sir, tell me, what do you do and who do you work for? He says, well, ma'am, I'm a pastor, and I'm the one they call on when you can't figure it out and when you don't know what to do. I come to tell you tonight, we serve a God that when the world doesn't know what to do, when the world can't figure it out, we can call on him, and his name is Jesus. There is no sickness that Jesus cannot heal. There is no trouble that Jesus cannot fix. There is no pain that Jesus cannot handle. There is no sin that Jesus cannot forgive. Why? Because he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. The church that brings glory to God is a church that prays believingly. Do you believe in prayer tonight? It's a church that loves unconditionally. By this will all people know that you're my disciple, that you have a love one for another. Do you live hospitably? Do you live hospitably? Do you open your arms wide for every people group? And then do you serve faithfully? Does your life exhibit a life that brings glory to God? Father, thank you for these moments you've given us. Lord, it's been so good just to be in your presence. Presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Lord, at your right hand, there are mercies forevermore. And tonight, Lord, we've been drenched in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, if we never gather again, tonight we can leave saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, we acknowledge tonight that, yes, you are a way maker. Lord, you make ways out of no ways. Father, even us tonight who were drenched in our sin, none of us saw a way out. Lord, you already had a plan in place. And that plan was that you were going to send your son who was holy and sinless and perfect. He came, Lord, to sacrifice his life in order that we might have life. So Lord, tonight we want to say thank you for that. And Lord, tonight there may be somebody here under the sound of my voice, or somebody, Lord, that's worshiping virtually tonight. And Lord, they need to know that, yes, you are real. That, Lord, your love is an unconditional love, that you open your arms wide for any and everyone to come. So Lord, tonight we believe that. And we believe that because you have paid the price for our sins, that our sins are paid for in full. There's nothing that we can do except be recipients of that gift. And so, Lord, tonight, there may be a man, woman, boy, or girl that, Lord, that has not received that gift. And so tonight, Lord, I pray that this will be the night that they will say yes to Jesus. They will say yes to the Lamb that was slain on Calvary's cross. But he didn't stay on that cross. He was putting that bar at tune, and early on the third day morning, he rose from the dead in order that we might be able to rise with brand new life. Lord, this is your time. This is your moment. We step out of the way and say, Lord, have your way. Lord, you bring to this altar, you do in the lives of your people exactly what you want to do. And Lord, don't let us leave here tonight until we've all done business with you, Lord, and until you finish what you want to do in this place. Lord, we simply say, have your way. And we ask this in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ. And we all said together, amen. Hey, here's what I want to do tonight really quickly. We're going to have moments of invitation, moments of response to the Lord. And perhaps tonight you just says, hey, Pastor Willie, man, it's a Sunday night. And I'm here, and I don't know exactly what I need to respond to. I just know that I can't remain in my seat. I can't wait for you to ask me to stand up, because God's doing something in my life right now. And if I don't come to this altar, I'm going to burst right where I'm at. That's you tonight. Listen, you make your way, because there's an audience of one tonight, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The next invitation is for those tonight, listen to me, you're already saved. If you're saved, just raise your hand. Man, Lord, I'm saved, I'm fire baptized, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm saved, fire goes, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, I'm saved. But tonight, the Lord was speaking to you. The Lord was speaking to you about praying believingly. You know, you pray, but maybe your prayer life is not where it needs to be, or where you want it to be, or you just said, you know, Lord, as a part of this revival, that's my commitment. Lord, I want to be a person that's praying believingly. I want to pray expectantly. I want to pray earnestly. I want to pray eagerly. I want to get up in the morning, and when I get, I want to go to bed at night and can't wait for the morning, not because I'm going on vacation or going to work, or I want to get up because I just want to be in the presence of the Lord. And so this is for believers right now. This is for believers that say, yes, already. We're in week number two, and we've got 3 weeks to go, and I'm not going to wait. I may come up every night. And so tonight I'm coming because I want to pray believingly. I want to love unconditionally. If you're like me, I've got some family members. Boy, I have to read this every day because, man, I got to learn to love like Jesus. How many of you can just be honest, man? Preach, I got to learn to love like Jesus because my circle of loving sometimes gets shrunk really quick. And we're in COVID too. Oh, Lord. And so tonight, you're just a believer and you just said, you know what, preacher? I'm going to be bold enough. Let me just invite everybody to stand. Let's do that. Everybody stand all across this place. And the same strength that you stand, listen, there are altars on my right and on my left. There's the wooden altar here. If you want to be Jesus style, come to the wooden altar. Amen. And you just want to find you a place, and you just want to be in the very presence of the Lord. Listen, you're a believer. You just want to do that tonight. You want to rededicate your life. In fact, maybe tonight you just says, hey, Pastor Willie, I'm already a believer. I want to be a part of this church. I feel something special. The presence of the Lord is here. The word of God is being preached, and I feel the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe tonight you're just not a member, but tonight you says, yes, I want to be a part of Grace Baptist Church. Listen, I'm going to invite you tonight on behalf of Pastor Tim and the staff to come tonight. Oh, hey, maybe tonight you just said, you know, Pastor Willie, God's got a calling on my life. There's a special ministry. There's a special anointing. There's a special calling that's on my life. And tonight you want to answer the call of the ministry. I'll never forget this. I was 14 years old when the Lord saved me, and then within that same year, the Lord called me to preach. 14, can you imagine that? I mean, I was wet behind the ears, didn't know nothing, had a lot of stuff going on in my body. You can Google that on the way home, but just... But the Lord is still calling people. And maybe you says, well, preacher, I'm not 14, I'm 54. Listen, the Lord is calling people late in our life too. And today, this is about simply being obedient to the Lord. Do you want to serve faithfully? Here's what I want to do. I want my life to count for simply bringing glory to God. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Pastor Tim and other pastor staff are going to be here. Pastor Daniel's going to lead us. And here's what I'm going to invite you to do tonight. Listen, you may say, Pastor Willie, why are you pressing this? Because 2 months ago, just up the road in Columbia, I preached a message on a Sunday morning. A lady who's a member of our church, her mother was visiting from Louisiana. That Monday morning, she went into the guest bedroom to wake her mother up. And her mother has slipped into eternity. That's why I'm so serious, because this may be the last time we gather. We just don't know. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do tonight. If you're going to be that church that brings glory to God, I'm just going to ask you to do me a favor, do the Lord a favor. I just want us to spend together just a few minutes at the altar. If you feel comfortable doing that, finding you a place. If not, you just flip around in your seat and you just take your posture on your knees. As Pastor Daniel begins to lead us in this time of worship, you respond to the Lord. So you do that now. You come.